WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. PM Dawn is a hip-hop group that doesn't follow some of the more predictable hip-hop patterns. Their lyrics don't brag about being macho or tough. They're about being lonely and alienated. PM Dawn's new album, Jesus Wept, has a spiritual edge. The group's musical idols include the Beach Boys as well as Prince. Critic Dave Marsh calls PM Dawn the Beatles of hip-hop. Critic Anthony DeCurtis called PM Dawn's melodies as beautiful as any pop music has to offer. And Billboard called the new album one of the tops of the year. PM Dawn is a duo made up of my guest Prince B and his brother JC the Eternal. From their new album Jesus Wept, this is Downtown Venus.
And I'm trying to be by myself. Myself, myself, myself. Visual dreamers. No one dreams enough to give me hope. I'm downtown Venus. And I'm trying to define myself. Myself, myself. And I keep saying.
Prince B, welcome to Fresh Air.
Well, thank you very much.
I think you've been moving more from rap to singing.
Yeah.
How come?
Well, I wasn't actually a rapper even when I was a rapper. Everybody kept telling me that I was. I didn't know what I was. I just sort of was accepted by whoever, you know. And because I wasn't singing, everybody just sort of said, oh, well, if you're not singing, you're rapping. And that wasn't actually what I was doing. I was just sort of talking, because when you rap, you just sort of do things in a rhythmic pattern, and it's a lot different from what I was doing. And I didn't change my voice at all. I just sort of sound the way I sound all the time. So when it came down to what I wanted to do, it was just going to be something very personal and very close to hip hop, which is what it is. But it actually wasn't rap at all.
A lot of rap has a very in your face style, and your style of rapping was much more, not about bragging, but more about being lonely and unsure of yourself.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Alienation.
Yeah. Well, why don't I play something from your first CD?
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear some of your rapping on that. This is Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Baby, you send me. It's one of those deja vu things, or a dream is trying to tell me something, but will I ever stop thinking about it? I don't know, I doubt it. Subterranean by design, I wonder what I would find if I met you, let my eyes caress you, until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who, often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there, but probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely, but you probably don't think nothing of me. She was right though, I can't lie. She's just one of those corners of my mind, and I'll just put her right back with the rest. That's the way it goes, I guess.
What do you think about this record now?
Well, it's very confusing. You know, I don't actually know what I was feeling at that particular moment. I just sort of go with emotions, and that's just one clear fact of how I just sort of go with things that I feel emotionally. And I think Set Adrift was very much representative of how I am mentally. You know, I have no idea what I'm doing.
No, how did you first start rapping?
When I was young, I just hip-hop took a big place in my life because there was nothing else that I wanted to do. Me and my brother had a conversation about, you know, what do you actually want to do for the rest of your life? Do you want to, you know, work a 9-to-5? Do you want to, you know, be a salesman? I don't know. It's just, we couldn't think of anything else to do But being a DJ is the only thing I wanted to do for the rest of my life was play records. But fortunately for us, DJing sort of evolved into the sampling artistry. So I still get to play my records, but I get to play them in a different way.
So you were DJing at parties when you were young?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much at home, at parties, wherever, actually.
Tell me what it would be like to DJ at a party and how old you were when you were doing it.
I'd say I was like 14 or 15. And, you know, it was just like, it's weird because people think when you sample a record, it's like stealing, but it's not. It's like you're almost there with the record. When you play a record, when a DJ plays a record for someone, it's almost like he's playing the record, you know what I mean? And the record is the DJ, you know what I mean? It's like, and when everybody likes the record and everybody goes crazy, it's the same vibe as if you wrote it, you know?
When did you go from DJing into actually rapping? Did you rap at parties?
Well, yeah, I did, actually. For a little while, it was me and my brother, we were Courageous Cut and DJ Minute Mix. So, and then I started rapping, and I changed my name to Courageous Rap and Minute Mix. So then I just started writing whatever the hell came out, so I just changed my name to Prince B, Prince Is, Prince Exists. So that was where pretty much everything started from there.
How did you start doing more singing? How did you go from rap to singing?
Well, I was always writing songs. I just sort of separated them. I thought that I was writing songs just to be writing them, just as a form of escapism. And then I was writing raps because that, you know, I was an inner city youth, and that was just what was prominent, you know. And I didn't really think too much of my songwriting, so I just sort of did it for myself. And, you know, I was singing some of the songs to Jarrett one day, and he just was like, you know, why are you setting this stuff aside, you know? So I just sort of combined the two, so to speak, and I didn't really want to do one or the other. I just sort of did whatever came out, and sometimes they came out all mixed up together.
Right. Did you have confidence in your voice when you started to sing?
Hell no. I barely have confidence in my voice now. It's just that there are a lot of people that say, oh, I like the way your voice sounds, and sort of make me blush all the time, but that's about it.
You sometimes sing in a falsetto.
I sing in a falsetto a lot. I think all the time I sing in a falsetto.
You more comfortable in that range? Do you like the sound of it better there?
Well, I just like using my voice as an instrument. I don't really use it like other singers use it. It's just that, you know, I could never be a Whitney Houston. I could never be a Bobby Brown. I could never be a Luther Vandross. So I just sort of use what I got, you know. And I don't know why a lot of times, especially lately, I've been writing at a really high sort of pitch, and it's just like I can't get rid of it, you know.
Now, on the new CD, Jesus Wept, mm-hmm. you do a version of Prince's 1999, and mm-hmm. you do it like as an acoustic ballad.
Uh-huh.
What made you decide to rework this song in this way?
Well, I just wanted to sort of do some songs that I could emote them in a spiritual way, and I thought that if I did it really intimately and personal, that people could see the spiritual side of what was going on in that song, or what I thought was going on in the song. And that was pretty much what attached me to doing 1999, because it's so intimate, it's so personal, it's so very much about the future, and I'm so very much afraid.
Why don't we hear it?
Over, oops, out of time. I'm not all gonna party like it's 1999. Like it's 1999.
That's Prince B from PM Dawn's new album, Jesus Wept. We'll talk more with Prince B after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Prince B of the group PM Dawn. You were exposed to a lot of very diverse music when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I think your stepfather played in Kool & the Gang.
Uh-huh.
So what did he play at home for you?
He was percussionist in Kool & the Gang. And not actually in Kool & the Gang. He was in an early incarnation of them. I think they were called the Jazzy Acts then. And, they were all from Jersey City. He's from Jersey City. And they just sort of played around and stuff. But, my dad was into other things, you know. My dad was into things like Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and that type of stuff. And it was just a lot of everything all the time, you know. I'd listen to Joni Mitchell, I'd listen to Sly and Family Stone, I'd listen to, you know, Kool & the Gang. I'd listen to Donovan, I'd listen to everything, you know. And it wasn't that I never really put anything in a category. I just sort of liked what I liked, you know. And
were your tastes considered odd by your friends?
I don't know. I never really showed my friends that particular side of what I was listening to, you know. I knew what everybody else liked, so I just sort of stayed in that area. I was sort of separating everything. You know, when it came down to hip-hop, it was hip-hop, and that's all I dealt with when it came to my friends. Anything other than hip-hop was strictly a bedroom thing.
Did you ever have to pretend that you didn't like Joni Mitchell or Bob Dylan?
No, I don't think it actually came up.
In what other ways were you separated from everyone else?
Well, see, me, I lived in the same 10-block radius my entire life, say 20 years or so, all the way up until maybe 4 years ago. And
this is in Jersey City?
Yeah. And then I went around the world, and everyone's sticking a microphone in my face saying, well, what do you think about, you know, what do you think about this place? And I didn't really have much to say. All I know is those 10 blocks, you know. And if you sort of went 5 blocks in one direction, I got robbed, beat up, and chased by white people. If I went 5 blocks in the other direction, I got robbed, beat up, and chased by black people. It didn't matter to me who my friends were. I just sort of picked everybody due to my emotional attachment. But in America, when you get older, everyone always asks you to pick a side. You got to pick a side. Where are you going to be at? So, and my reaction was, you know, I can't pick a side. You know what I mean? If I'm really going to pick a side, none of you people are on my side. So, you know, I learned to be an escape artist at a young age.
Escape from what?
From everything.
From being hit? From being beaten up?
From everything. If I didn't have my imagination, I wouldn't be here.
How did you make your first record?
I had a choice. I was gonna either go to some weird school or go make
some
a demo.
Some weird school?
Some weird, I think it was about some computer school.
Uh-huh.
I was gonna go to, and I had a choice, either pay for the tuition or pay for a demo. So I said, I'll never forgive myself if I didn't do the demo. So I did the demo, and actually we only sent our demo to 3 places, and one of them picked them up, and it got into some sort of weird line, and we ended up on G Street Records, and that's how it is today.
Now, how much of the music on your new record is played by musicians, and how much of it is sampled? And is that balance changing?
I would say pretty much 35% of it is musicians, you know, and the rest are samples. I mean, it's just, I'm a sampling artist, what can I tell you? It's just, I love listening to records. I love feeling vibes from other people. I love being influenced by everything, you know. And that's why the music takes the turns that it does, you know, because there are no boundaries in who we want and who we listen to. We can take a Sly Stone sample. We can take a Joni Mitchell sample. We can take a James Brown sample. We can take a Cal Jada sample. It doesn't really make a difference, you know. It's just all vibes and how everything feels and how everything emotes itself, you know.
So when you want to sample another record, when you want to use a passage from another record as part of your own music, mm-hmm. do you have to, like, call the lawyers and have the lawyers call the publishers and then negotiate for rights? Or are there some people who are famous for not allowing their records to be sampled?
Yeah, I know, like, Beatles don't not allow their records to be sampled. I think that was more of a Michael Jackson thing. Because I met Paul McCartney, and he's pretty much down with it, so. And, who else doesn't sample? You can't sample the Rolling Stones because the guy, not actually their fault either. It always has to do with someone else, you know.
Oh, the lawyer, the publisher, right.
Yeah, you know, the only people that, you can't sample Led Zeppelin, but recently Led Zeppelin let us clear a sample for one of our songs, and it was weird because, like I said, Led Zeppelin doesn't clear any samples for no reason whatsoever.
But they like your music a lot?
I mean, it was pretty much a big split, but yeah, they cleared the sample.
Choose a track for me where you really like the way the sample worked out.
I'd say My Own Personal Gravity, you know, and that was a sample from the Hassles. That it was Billy Joel's first group, and it was you know, I heard the riff, and it the song just sort of came out on its own. You know, it took maybe like a half an hour to write the song, and it was very, it's hard to explain how songs come out because there's no actual formula for it all, but My Own Personal Gravity, something that just sort of had a life of its own, you know, it just sort of came out, boom, there it is, here I am, what's up, you know.
Good, let's hear it.
What could be lonely about you?
A little bit, you know. I started playing a little bit of keys only recently. Started trying to learn, but I think the reason that the songs come out the way they do is because I have no idea what's going on. You know, I just sort of hum out melodies and say, "Could you please play that in a particular way?" You know, and Cameron, our guitarist, he's always going, "Oh man, I can't do that with my guitar," and he's always trying to figure out ways to make things sound different and original. So. It's cool, you know, not knowing because you don't know what you can and can't do, you know, so it's almost limitless.
I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, hey, it's cool.
Prince B of the group PM Dawn. Here's more from PM Dawn's new album, Jesus Wept, a cover of the David Byrne song Once in a Lifetime.
Thank you.
Music from PM Dawn's album Jesus Wept. This is Fresh Air.